It worked pretty well. Had a couple of songs there with the theme of the cross. I want to work off of that a little bit, talking about taking up our cross and following him. But another theme that I noticed in some of those songs a little bit was this idea that we are waiting for some future glory. And, you know, that's a... It's common within that tradition, and we certainly are waiting for our glorified body, but we are victorious because we don't have to wait for heaven to be able to share in the glory of God for all of eternity. Being able to reign with Christ forever starts at the moment we're immersed into Jesus Christ. Our eternity began. And so that's exciting because we can live victoriously with our gaze fixed on the throne where we are actually seated with Jesus Christ. We get to begin to reign with him in glory from the moment of our immersion going forward. We don't have to wait for some sweet by and by where we can go away from this terrible, awful earth where all of the sin happens, but rather right now, today, we get to live victoriously and reign with Jesus Christ. It's not sweet by and by. Eternity has started. And the victory has started. And that is exciting. Now, along with that victory comes a very practical application of taking up our cross and following Jesus Christ. Okay, because that victory, taking up that cross is something that we can be victorious in. Mark chapter 8, I better get out my notes because I'm already way off track, but that's okay. Mark chapter 8. We're going to pick it up in verse 34. And he summoned the multitude of his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So, in Mark chapter 8, specifically looking at verses 34 and 35, Jesus, okay, is summoning the multitude with his disciples. He says, look, if anybody wants to follow me, and you want to be a follower of mine, you're going to need to take up your cross daily and follow after me. Okay? And whoever wishes to save his life is going to lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, for the gospel's, he's going to find it. So, following Jesus, okay, is what we are all doing. Okay? Christianity, we are disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. We are Christ followers. And so when Jesus says, whoever wishes to follow me is going to have to take up his cross and follow after me, that's going to be something that we're going to want to pay attention to, something we're going to want to take note of, and figure out exactly what he means by that. And so, additionally, in verse 35, okay, there's some motivation there. Whoever wishes to save his life is going to lose it. Well, we want life, right? I mean, I don't know about you, okay, but eternal life sure sounds a whole lot better than eternal condemnation and suffering to me. I would much rather have eternal life with Jesus Christ than hell for all of eternity. Not really a hard choice. Pretty easy choice to make there. So it's important. Because we want life. It's important to know what true discipleship is because we're interested in eternal life. Now again, eternal life is not just the sweet by and by. Eternal life started the moment that you became a Christian, the moment that you were immersed into Christ. But Jesus says to the people there, he says, come after me to join him as a disciple, to be part of his disciples, to side with his party. Okay, discipleship is extremely important. Discipleship is the following after Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me, a lot of times one of the things that the denominational world will do, the denominational world in their terminology that they use, they'll separate evangelism and discipleship. Well, I'm not quite sure how you do that, because biblically those two things go hand in hand. So when they say discipleship, and you're kind of mainline Protestant type deals, when they say discipleship, they mean personal growing in your relationship with Jesus. And when they say evangelism, they specifically mean taking a person from being a non-Christian to what they believe makes a person a Christian. Well, scripturally, okay, you can't separate those things. Okay, to make a disciple, okay, you're going to have to be involved in evangelism. But your evangelism doesn't stop when a person becomes a Christian. So that discipleship process continues on, but the discipleship process starts way before somebody becomes a Christian. I mean, Matthew 28 starts with, 19 and 20 starts with go, right? Okay. Is the person that we're hoping to share life with, are they a Christian yet at go? No. Okay, go make disciples. Okay, is that person at that point a Christian yet? No, they're not. See, it's important to notice that the discipleship process, according to the scripture, the discipleship process starts way before someone is a Christian, way before someone's immersed into Jesus Christ. And so the going part of discipleship, the making disciples part of discipleship, both of those things are started before a person becomes a Christian. Well, then what do we have? Immersing them. Okay, they're a Christian now, but has the discipleship process ended? No, in a lot of ways, it's just beginning there, right? So even though the process started way back here, right? Now, okay, they've been immersed into Christ, they're a Christian, but then there's the continue to teach, right? And so the discipleship process is really important, and being a disciple is extremely important because we want life. Mark 8:35, right? For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We want our souls to be saved for all of eternity. We want life, not only in eternity, but we also want life right now. And so discipleship, following Jesus, is of a very high importance on an individual level. It takes preeminence, right? Because if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, what's all the rest of the teachings of the gospel going to do you any good? That's the starting point. Right? As all of our starting point is, I am going to be a disciple. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so it's where we have to start. But what is that discipleship? Well, what are we talking about there? Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to read verse 33. Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And they said to him, "The disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same. But yours eat and drink." So one of the things I want us to notice here is that the Pharisees had disciples. These teachers of the law, they had people who were their disciples, who followed after him. So a lot of times when we think about disciples, we have a very specific context that we think about disciples or discipleship in. And I want us to notice the fact that these Pharisees had disciples, and then also John had disciples. So these were guys that were following after the teaching of the Pharisees, or they were following after the teaching of John the Immerser. They were following those guys. And what were they doing? Well, they were studying under these teachers. They were studying under either John or the Pharisees, so on and so forth. Their disciples were learners or pupils. They were students. And to be a good student, you're going to do what the teacher does. And so, disciples of John, they're asking a question here. Okay, the disciples of John, they do this, they fast. The disciples of the Pharisees fast. How come your disciples aren't fasting? Okay, so the Pharisees have disciples, John the Immerser had disciples, but Jesus also had disciples. Now, Jesus had a number of different disciples, and a lot of times when we're talking about Jesus' disciples, we're talking specifically about the apostles. And there's a difference there. You can use Acts chapter 1. You're going to need to use Acts chapter 1 to specifically define what the qualifications for an apostle were. We're not going to do that tonight, but or this afternoon. But the apostles, in particular, there's only 12 of them, right? There are only the 12 apostles. Okay, Judas killed himself, gave us 11. Matthias replaced Judas. Okay, and then you have Paul, who's one untimely born, who was also an apostle of Jesus Christ. So, but Jesus had lots of different disciples, lots of different people who followed after Jesus Christ. Well, we know even in, let's just reference Acts chapter 1 again, there were 120 people, right, in the upper room there. 120 people there, what were they? They were disciples. They weren't all Galileans, which is an important point that you'll need working through Acts chapter 2, but they're all disciples, followers of Jesus, men, women, okay? All sorts of people who were following after the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so disciple comes from a Greek word that means learner or pupil. So Jesus has these learners. Jesus has these pupils. Jesus has these students that are following him, okay? That they're learn. Okay, what did Jesus have to teach me, okay? If we back up to verse 27, we're going to see a similarity. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. "And after that, he went out and noticed a tax gatherer named Levi sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he left everything behind and rose and began to follow him." So Jesus has disciples. Jesus had apostles, of which Levi was one of them. He says what? Follow me. Follow me. What do we see in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35? Jesus said, hey, take up your cross and what? Follow me. Learn from me. Be a good student of mine. Well, I was thinking about that a little bit and thought about a guy like Matthew, or sometimes I think about like James and John, and these guys were grown men. John, we have reason to believe that John was probably one of the younger apostles. But these guys are not boys. These guys are men. Okay, and as men, okay, they have another man that says to them, "Follow me." And he says things like, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," and we're going to examine that in the next couple of weeks, but "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Well, what were they then? Fishers of fish, right? Okay. what you normally fish for? Fish. Well, they knew a lot about fishing, right? Knew plenty about fishing. I am not a fisherman, okay? I know very little about fishing. That's not, you know, a lot of guys like to fish to relax. I'm not one of those guys. I watch football to relax. But I don't know anything about fishing. And at this point, I'm open to learning, but it doesn't sound, I don't know anything about it. I just don't. I have no idea. I think that they're like, you use certain bait for certain fish and that sort of thing. But further than that, like, I'm just smiling and faking it, right? Like, hey, you know, okay, I don't know anything about fishing. Well, you take these guys, Jesus' apostles, okay, what do they know about fishing for men? What do they know about it? And Jesus said, "I'm going to make you fishers of," what's that mean? But see, they had to push themselves out of their comfort zone of understanding. They knew what they were doing when they got on the boat. They knew how to mend their nets, okay? They knew, you know, whatever it is that you need to know about fishing that I can't use this illustration very well because I don't know anything about fishing. They knew all of that stuff, right? So they knew what that took to be a great fisherman. And Jesus says, "Follow me, leave that stuff behind." Let's take Matthew, the tax gatherer, Levi. Okay, so he says to Levi, who's gathering taxes, who is probably on the edge of society anyway. He's probably not a very well-liked guy because nobody likes the tax collectors. That's one thing that hasn't changed in the past 2,000 years. Nobody likes the IRS. Okay, so you have Matthew, and Matthew is like, "Okay, I'll follow you." What's he know about? The tax code, right? How much of a bribe he can take. Like, those are things I'm not indicting Matthew's character, but probably a man of high character, actually, for Jesus to call him. But these are the things that he knows about, right? This is what Matthew knows about. And as a grown man, he's going to have to say, "Okay, I'm going to follow after you, Jesus. I'm going to learn something completely, totally, and utterly new." It's an example to me, the humility that the apostles showed to really be lifelong learners. It's easy to be in opposition to learning new things. I don't need that. It's kind of what I do whenever a new social media platform comes out. Like, I don't need to. No, I am not going to get on whatever the new platform is, because I already have a Facebook. That's it, right? It's too much of a hassle. I think I have a Twitter, but I have no idea how to really work it. So, again, I do that because I don't really want to learn that new, like, the cost-benefit analysis. I do it real quick and says, no thanks. Like, I don't want to do that. Well, I think sometimes that we can get in a place where we're comfortable in life and we can do the same thing. Well, I know this. I'm comfortable with this. I'm comfortable in this little box. But the apostles and the other disciples of Jesus Christ are great examples to us that it really is about lifelong learning. See, Christianity is about lifelong learning. We can't do, I can get away with not learning Twitter. Like, that's fine. Not going to hurt me. I might not, you know, depending on what social media platform the kids are on, you know, maybe that'll limit my effectiveness, but it's a cost-benefit analysis, right? But Christianity, you don't get to, well, I've arrived. You don't get to hit the I've arrived button. I don't need to learn anything anymore. I've arrived. It doesn't work that way. And learning is hard, but Christianity is exciting because it is about learning and growing and discovery. That's what it's about. What did the apostles know when Levi took that first step to follow Jesus? Do you have any real idea what he was getting into? Did he know everything that was going to entail over the next 3.5 years? Take a guy like Peter. You know he wasn't thinking 3 minutes ahead, much less 3.5 years ahead, right? So, but what's he willing to do? He's willing to learn in that moment. He's willing to go in that moment. And in the same way, those are examples for us. Okay, a lot of times we had very little idea what the Christian life played out was really going to look like and the type of transformation that we were going to experience in our lives when we were immersed into Jesus Christ. Okay? That's fine, right? That's the step that needed to be taken in that moment, right? And it continues to be about learning, about growing, about discovery. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8. No, let's start in 17. You therefore, beloved, so note that this is talking to Christians, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So the scriptural exhortation here to Christians, to disciples, is to grow. These are people that are in Jesus Christ, that are doing well. They're concerned about their steadfastness. He's concerned about their faithfulness. And what's he say? Grow. And what two areas in particular? Grace. Okay. And in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the only way the apostles were able to really fulfill their potential, okay, was if they were going to be willing to learn from Jesus Christ. Well, the only way as disciples of Jesus Christ that we're going to reach our potential is to learn from Jesus Christ. And in a lot of ways, that learning process really begins at our immersion. As I mentioned earlier, the discipleship process starts earlier than that. But as new babes, what do we know, right? And a lot of times we feel pressure to have, I got this locked in. And really, you're like me with fishing, right? Like, I got no idea what we're looking at here, right? But we can take that next step in growth, because we want to receive life. And to receive life, we're going to have to be a disciple. We're going to have to follow after Jesus. And so, just like the apostles, they started out spiritually attuned, okay, and they took their first steps in following Jesus. And in the same way, okay, we took our first steps in following Jesus, okay, and we got a lot to learn, and that's great. You know, there were, talk about the importance of discipleship, and then disciples were learners, were pupils, were students, were followers. Pharisees had them. John the Baptist had them. Of course, our Lord had them. Paul had disciples, right? Learners, followers. Think specifically of Timothy, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, let's go ahead and go there. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. First Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." And earlier, starting out the book of 1 Corinthians, he was talking about how, you know, ultimately, okay, he was glad that he didn't personally immerse a bunch of them because they were having trouble with divisions and that sort of thing. So other people were immersing them. But he's telling them, hey, look, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So Paul had disciples, just like Jesus had disciples, but his discipleship was to point others towards following Jesus, right? His discipleship wasn't just, okay, these are my people, right? His discipleship was, follow me in the things that I follow Christ. And so it's important that we are disciples to receive life, and then that we recognize that that discipleship really is a learning process. That discipleship is a studious process. That discipleship is a process of us being pupils of Jesus Christ. You know, I kind of appreciate how the trades are set up. You know, the trades are set up in such a way that, right, you learn by doing, right? You start out as an apprentice, right? And you're apprentice what? Under a master, right? And you learn by doing what the master learns. Well, they're doing what the master does. Well, isn't Christianity basically an apprenticeship where we do what the master does? We learn from watching the master. The master is there to help us wherever we need help. Our discipleship really is an apprenticeship in being like Jesus Christ, to learn from Jesus. And just like Matthew, the example is that we follow Jesus within this process. Well, Matthew what? He got up, he followed Jesus. Scriptural exhortation, if you want life, you take up your cross daily, you follow Jesus. Disciple is a lifelong learner. Somebody who is committed and dedicated to learning what it means to be pleasing to the Lord. Learning what it means to manifest Jesus' character to the world in each and every circumstance. Learning what it means to manifest his character by being transformed into his very same image. You know, and that's why the book of Revelation talks about to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Because there are going to be challenges. There are going to be things where I have no idea how to handle this, right? No clue. I haven't had this problem before. What's the scriptural exhortation? To him that overcomes. And there's a master who's had that problem before. That's why Jesus, okay, is such a great example for us to be able to follow in his steps, because he has seen the problem before and he knows what he's doing. So it's a continual learning process through all of our lives. So not only do we need to be a disciple to receive life, but we need to be a disciple for all of our lives. The discipleship process doesn't end. We keep on being like Jesus Christ, being a committed and dedicated pupil of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue to kind of look at being disciples of Jesus Christ. We've talked a little bit about the importance of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and then we've talked a little bit about what does that mean? It really means to follow Jesus, to be dedicated to a life of lifelong learning, not just in acquiring knowledge, but acquiring true spiritual wisdom. When we do that, it's going to take some getting our hands dirty. It's going to take some experience. It's going to take some of that knowledge that knowledge becomes understanding. If we can add understanding and experience, we'll get some of that wisdom. And it's going to be a process of picking up our cross daily, following after him as dedicated and lifelong learners. So I hope that is encouraging to you. And I hope that this week we can take one more step forward, that we can embrace the idea of growing in grace and in knowledge. You know, embracing that idea can sometimes be difficult, because then I have to recognize that I don't always have it all figured out. That could be hard for me sometimes. You know, maybe it's easy for you, like, oh, yep, I know my limitations all the time, and it's really easy. But, you know, for me, I have to recognize that, oh, I am supposed to grow in grace. I can be better at giving myself and giving other people grace today than I was yesterday. And that's not an indictment on who I was yesterday, but rather it's showing that I am a good growing disciple of Jesus Christ today. That's what that's showing. That's not an indictment of what I did wrong yesterday. And I can grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ today, and he's going to be pleased with that, and that's only going to help me be better at taking up my cross and being a better disciple maker. I'm going to challenge you to see if you can view things a little bit through that paradigm this week, and if you already are, praise God, let's keep moving forward. So, Joe.